Thank you, Mr. Black. Mr. Black, tell me what you're thinking right now.
I feel so happy and free like I've never felt in my life.
Well, look up here at me. I want to see you. What'd you say?
I feel like I've never felt before. I'm free. I'm delivered. Thank God.
Look at that place, the crowd. Mr. Black, I hope the crowd will see you tonight.
Yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for people back there, he's doing for people today. And he raised me up and sent me to pray for people. Now, would you believe? Now, if you want to be healed, put your hands on your body. Doesn't matter where you put them on your body, just put them on your body as a point of contact. I want to reach out my hand tonight as a point of contact because God has made my right hand my point of contact. Are you ready? And now, Father, hear my prayer tonight, for I come to thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let your healing virtue fill this room and heal every person in it. Heal the old and heal the young. Heal each one of them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. My brother, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command your afflictions to come out of your body. Thou tormenting affliction, loose him. Come out of him. Loose him today. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Be made whole from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And now, my sister, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command your afflictions to come out of your body. For I speak in his name. Thou tormenting afflictions, come out of her, loose her, and let her go free. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Put your hands on.
And they decided they were going to put in for higher wages. So they asked 2.5 a day. But the Swedish Employers Association, they just refused. So they went on strike. Then they sent to Poland and Czechoslovakia, and from this Galician countries for strike breakers, and they paid them 5 kroner a day as strike breakers. Yeah. That is perfectly all right. But they would refuse to pay their own man $2, $2.50 a day. That was all they were asking. Oh, that was written, that was known all over Sweden about the harvest strike at Eda. That was became famous that time.
The harvest strike.
Harvest. Right, that's what they call it, because it was right at the harvest time when they went on strike, see. Well, In my experience, after I left home, I lost out as a glassblower. I quit that entirely then. And I went and looked for work at the place where they had a pulp mill. Well, there I had it pretty good. I worked there for about 2 years. But then being in this other little town, last town I was at, there I became pretty darn radical. And I wouldn't have nothing to do with politics, because we didn't believe in politics, the young socialists. Mm-hmm. No, that was direct action. That was the only thing that was going to do anything. Politics, that was just like religion. That was just a poison.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was the idea we had. And that's what we were taught by the leaders. Well,
who were the leaders then?
Well, there was a fellow by the name of Hinke Bergen, and he was the head of the Young Socialist Party. And Hjalmar Branting, he was at the head of the Social Democratic Party.
He was in Parliament?
He was in the Parliament, yes. He was the only congressman they had there that was a Social Democrat. But the Young Socialists, they helped at an election or at the time, they gradually got more and more Social Democrats into the Riksdag. And when those put up some proportion that was to the benefit for the workers, then the Young Socialists come out. The reactionaries, they wooted it down, of course. But then the Young Socialists come out and they says, if that bill don't go through, you'll have a general strike on your hands. That's the way they won it. They didn't win it through politics. It was the direct action that the Young Socialists come out with. That's what won. And the funny thing is that that country now, it has turned completely upside down. Instead of being, as it was them days, one of the worst countries to live in, today it is one of the best, as far as labor is concerned.
Well, your struggles bore fruit.
Positively it did. And I give all the credit to that they have got it as good in Sweden today, to the Young Socialists. They were the ones that brought it about. Fellows that stayed there instead of doing like me, running away. But the reason I did leave there was, I worked at this place, Justafors, and I was able, with the help from some other fellows, to form a temperance organization, what is called Verandi. That is all young fellows, radical as the dudes they were. And then I wanted to start a Young Socialist Club at this place. Well, that was the thing they were afraid of. They were afraid of the Young Socialists. So I was chairman for the Verdandi, and they hated us like poison, of course. One evening, there were three young fellows that was members. They were standing, just discussing things at the crossing. And there was a couple of white-collar workers that came, and they just tried their darndest to get in trouble with these three young fellows. They come and they started to abuse them. Well, these three young fellows, they answered them back. It was no fighting or anything, just fighting, a verbal fight, that is all it was. But because those three young fellows started to answer these white-collar fellows the way that they didn't like it, they got fired just for that. Well, when I heard about that, I wanted the union to take it up at the next meeting. In fact, I took it up myself at the next union meeting and wanted, if necessary, to go on strike in order to force the company to take those three fellows back, because there was no reason why they should have been fired. Any other reason than just that they had been talking back to these white-collar fellows. next Monday, or the old fellas in the union, oh, you're nothing but a bunch of troublemakers anyhow, you fellas. You're nothing but radicals. You're only causing trouble, so we won't pay no attention to you. The result of it was that the following Monday I was called into the office, and the manager, he told me, fellas like you, we have got no use for them here at all. Well, at that time, you see, you couldn't get a job any place unless you had a letter or recommendation from the place that you last worked at. Well, I was all over the province of Vermont looking for work, all over. You just couldn't get a job because I was on what they call the black list. As soon as they saw my name at the bottom of that application, oh, we haven't got no work here. And that's the only time that I have been on the bum, was that time. I had money enough to take the train to go to a place where they advertised for help.
Would you like some tea?
It wasn't so very far.
She wants some tea.
Yes, I'd like to take
some. Maybe you'd rather have coffee.
It's all right. Tea is all right. It's fine.
I'll put it right here.
All right, thank you.
Do you have sugar in it?
I do take some sugar in it. Yeah.
I don't have sugar, but I have honey.
Well, that's all right.
I only drink coffee in the morning.
Oh, I don't eat sugar anymore, so I just have... How many do you want? Honey is all sweeter than sugar,
bonus,
you know.
Bonus. Yeah, that'd be fine. Thank you.
Do you have cream?
No, not in tea.
How about some more grapes?
No, thanks. I have plenty. Thank you.
But you give me altogether too much food here.
Well, just eat what you want. So is that when you came to America then?
No, not right then. I still stayed over there another 2 years.
You did?
Yeah.
So then you couldn't get to work.
How many years?
Another 2 years after
that.
I was 18 years old at this time. So I went home and stayed home. Then it was some engineers.
The only time I drank tea was when I went across Europe.
In England, you drank tea, huh?
Yeah,
well, do some?
You had to.
No. Some engineers in Oslo, Norway, that started a company where they went across on the Swedish side and built the pulp mill. So I got bent over there and got in on the construction gang there when they were building. And being that I, I should start mine going into
it. You're selling it, you might as well take it down.
Yeah.
It's all in there now.
Well, these fellows from Oslo, they formed the company and they built this pulp mill on the Swedish side, the border. And I got a job there on the construction. And then we got a chance to work in the pulp mill after they started that up. And being that we were only three fellas working there that had ever worked in a pulp mill before, we had the first chance to get in it. So I had a real good job there. But then they started in the same as what the Swedish employer had been doing, cutting weights. I was had one of the highest paid jobs in the mill at the time. But then they come out a notice that such and such date they were going to cut us a cent a ton. Well, we were not organized or anything, but I got together a few of those fellows there that I knew didn't want the cut. So I said, are we going to stand and take that cut? If we do, it ain't going to be more than a couple months more before there'll be another cut come. And first thing you know, why, they're going to have us down just as low as what they are having the rest of the pulp mill workers. No, there was nobody who was going to take it. So we decided that the time the cut was going to take effect, we were going to go on strike. Well, there was one of those others that had been working in the pulp mill before. I trusted him. We were grinding pulp, him and I. He was on the day shift and I was on the night shift. Well, that evening the cut was going to take effect. I dressed up and I went down to see what he was going to do. Instead of shutting down the mill, what he should have done, he stayed my shift through the night also. And we were only three of us that stuck to what we had agreed on. And of course we were done for. So that was just, I was 20 years old then, just at the time when I was ready to go into the rolls to train for military service the following year. If I hadn't gotten away before the, or if I hadn't gotten my birth certificate and my papers, I can't think of what it would be in English, the particular papers. Well, it is something on the order of a passport. If I hadn't gotten that out before the 1st of November that year, then I would have been stuck for military duty the next year.
How many years did they have?
Well, it wasn't more than 90 days.
Oh.
That was all they had.
Oh.
So it wasn't much as far as that goes. But it was something that was compulsory. And that was what I just couldn't stand. Absolutely. And all of us young fellows were against it. I swore that I'll never take a gun regardless of what happens. I'd rather take 6 months in jail than to go and train to shoot any workers in any other country. That was my idea. Well, my mother, she was very religious, and she couldn't for the life of her see that I was going to jail for any cause whatsoever. So she had a brother farming out here at Hector. So she told my sister that you better write to Gus and see if he'll send him a ticket. I never told me anything about it. 2 days before I got the ticket, then they told me that I was going to go to America. I never had any desire to come here or anything. No, I enjoy that fighting over there. Sure. But the result of it was anyhow that I went and got my papers and got all set. But the funny thing was, I had, between the time I took out my papers until I left, I had 2 months. Then I had a letter from the boss at this pulp mill where we went on strike, and I've got an offer from him to come back there and I could get any job I wanted in that mill. Yeah. But then it was too late because I had already decided to go here, of course.
So
I was
through Hector?
Yeah, through Hector, yeah.
Did you know the North Cobb there?
No.
You mean in Hector?
Yeah.
Now,
do you know Hector?
Well, I did that.
Well, you must have, there's more North Cogs there than you can throw.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're mostly Swedes out there.
Yeah.
I come there the week before Christmas, or the day before Christmas Eve. I stepped off the train at Hector.
How old were you then? 20?
20. That was the Christmas of 1910. Then my idea was I was going to go east to where the glass factories are. That was my intention. I was going to stay with my uncle just long enough so I could pay for the ticket, and then I was going to go east. But my mother, she was so worried about me, what was going to become of me. So she wrote to her brother and asked him if he wouldn't please let me stay with him for at least a year. So that was decided then that I was going to work for him for a year for $200 for a whole year.
other farm, the other farm.
Farm. Yeah. 52 cents a day for 12 hours work.
Oh.
And then he was going to be real good. He was going to be real good to me too. So he was going to give me a chance to make more money by going in the thresher for a threshing rig in the fall. So I went with the threshing rig, and there I worked 26 days and made $52. But when we settled up, then he kept the $52 and gave me 52 cents a day.
Oh.
I thought of that many times. I couldn't understand how a person possibly could be as greedy as all that. And he was my own uncle.
You paid him back the fare already.
Oh, yeah, sure. But when I settled up with him, he sold his farm then, and he went to Colorado from there. So I stayed with him a month and a half over the year. So when we settled up then, it was in the middle of February, I had already hired out to another farmer for the following season. Then I owed him $6.32 after working for a whole year. The only thing I had gotten was my ticket for the whole year's work. Huh. And a little clothes that I had bought. That's all I had left out of the whole year's wages. So, then he says, "Yeah," but he says, "you have been here now," he says, "a month and a half over the year." Well, I says, "I never expected to get anything for that," I says, "because I was glad to have some place to stay till I moved to this other place. I was supposed to start at the other place the first of March." So, oh yes, he says, "I was going to get paid for it." So then he figured out at 52 cents a day for the days that I had been there over the years. So, so it gave me something around $30 by the time I was through.
52 cents a day.
Yes. It sure was money then. Then I went
room and board.
Yeah, of course. Got room and board. Well, then I started hired out for these other firemen with $225 for 8 months. But there was hell in poverty. He was another sweeper. The way I slaved that summer, I had never thought that I would have to. I left him the 1st of December, and I was determined I was going to go back to Sweden after 2 years, because I couldn't see that it was anything better here at all than what it was. What I had left. Well, then I come to Minneapolis. It was the 1st of December, 1912.
You didn't meet any socialists or anything like that?
No. When I was working on the farm there, of course, then I was isolated completely. They never thought of such a thing. But there's one thing, something that I'd like to mention about my uncle. We got into discussion about the difference of having a kingdom or a republic where they voted in a president every 4 years. Mm-hmm. Now there was something that he said that struck me awfully funny. He made comparisons between the two. I argued for to have a president. Boot him in every 4 years if he was no good. Well, he says, "I'll tell you," he says, "it is just like this. If I was compelled," he says, "to have a pig," he says, "on my farm, now which would I be better off? If I get one skinny one and fatten him up and then kept him for 4 years and then threw him out and took another skinny one and fatten him up? Now if I kept that fat one," he says, "that'd be cheaper for me, wouldn't it?" That was the way he compared it. Now he says, "is that a king in Sweden?" He says,
Now he's got to see to it that there is something for the kids after him to steal his, after he's gone. He can't take it all at one time. But here he says, the Vodina president says, he steal all he can. He says, the 4 years that he is there, and then to put another one in that steal all he can. That's the way they keep him. That's the comparison. Imagine, I had a laugh at that.
So what'd you find in Minneapolis then?
Well, I stayed with a cousin of mine here in Minneapolis while I was getting ready to go to Sweden. She says, you better stay another year. She says, you'll find it'll be better. So finally, she was able to talk me into it.
Are you through?
Yeah, I'm through with the food because you had all
food. Would you have some fruit?
I want to take just a few grapes.
How about a piece?
No, thanks. Well,
that's coming
on the machine. Every bit of it. Oh, this is a lot of fun.
Oh
yeah. Well, I'm thinking about those days, going back to those days. That really is something.
Då gick jag hem och skrev till Nicolina om hon vill vara så rysligt snäll och möta mig när månen börjar skina i Egerbacken nästa lördagskväll. Där mötte mig en mörk figur i kappa och månen sken på himlen som en
bål.
Den myta mig var Nicolinas pappa.
Det
vet man inte försvarligt.
He's gonna be so proud.
Jag blev så rädd, jag lärde mig knäna och tog till fina både rätt och fel. Sonne sökte mellan träna, lät gruppen bågen dansa på min rymd. Då gick jag hem och skrev till Nicolina, nu är mitt hela liv adjö. Om du är god så kan min kärlek skina, och jag och dränker mig i närmsta sjö. Men Nicolina botade min sjuka, hon sa det kära Olle, tänk dig för. Men som ser lite korta där en kruka, du kan väl lugna dig till gubben bör. Och nu så väntar jag och Nicolina att gubben han ska kora vippen av, och till ett minne efter honom sätter den gamla påven under gubbens krav.
Ja, nu får vi nästan ursäkta att det är
composed this one for
herself.
Now,
she is
starting to sing the one that she has.
In vita vi sjunga freden i kläm, hurra-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li-li- blir aldrig för bra. Säget blir i skolan och folket som glädje, ej mera han då utan livet begärde. Hur han blir bra, hur han blir hurra. Men hur
dödsat i gravidet med oss kom. Hur aldrig vi, hur aldrig jag, det ordnat i kvinnt och biljetter det kom. Hur aldrig vi, hurra, kom så till mina fötsvenskarnas dag. Det bussen gasar i gången bra. Hur aldrig vi, hur aldrig jag, hur aldrig vi, hurra. Jag går till vi jobbar för våra fred. Hur aldrig vi, hur aldrig jag, inte har hon säkert i gift och nöd. Hur aldrig vi, hurra, hur aldrig vi, hur aldrig jag. Hur aldrig vi, hurra, med detta en hälsning vi sända till er. Hur aldrig vi, hur aldrig jag, snart kommer vi hem och så åter i fred. Hur aldrig vi, hurra, då blir vi med dem i Östersund. Det lovar vi säkert i denna stund. Står jag här vid Skeppes strand, under himlen skär vi här namn på Porsgrillan. Efter lång och smärtsam dag hör jag fjällan dinge i slag. Val och som åter hår, nord mot ut mot vår. Hälsa den där hemma, hälsa far och mor. Hälsa gröna hagen, hälsa lille bror. Om jag har det
jag äntligen hemåt igen. Vad betyder att hemma är höst? Att stunden är bister och kylan blir frän. Ty jag sjunger ur överfull bröst. Hem, hem till mitt land. Långt i norr under norrskenets brand. Ja, mitt öra blir våt för sista kvinnan av blått som jag såg ut av barndomens strand. Nu har de en sång här på engelska.
Så det är... Kan du bedja som hon föll du alltid
bak? I can play that same thing for you by your mother.
Ser till mig som liten öv. Och då sjunger du med jubel i din sång. Barnas tro, barnas sång. I himmelen du har en gyllene bro. Barnas tro, barnas tro. Himmelen du är en ljusbro.
Du ändan på Birkastan. Huset var färdigt, där fanns ännu ingen trappa, men det skulle bli till flyttningsdagen. När jag flyttade in så var trappan blott en planka, samlag och vicka, samlag och vicka. Så att saligumman min gudsigne gammal anka, hon höll på att svimma för hon var i van. Ägare det för målar Johansson, åkarmäster Labansson, bläck, plåt och koppar slagar hammer, ren, plugat och vattenmokar bergegren, förutom cement på läggar Fagerberg, snickarmästare Lagerberg, grundläggar firman Berg och Sandersson, samt tapetsiramästare Andersson. Men och går på plankan i drift på trapp, och såg ju mat och hängde hela sitt tapeten, den satt där och slängde så slö och slapp. Värmeledningen var kall som man var bland det hesig, och något vatten det fanns att ta mig katten till, för köpet hade man klart bort att bygga WC. Men då blev jag arg och begav mig rapp att säga åt en målar Johansson, åkarmästar Labansson, bläck, plåt och kappar slagar hammer, ren, flusgas och vattenmokar bergegren, förutom cement på läggar Fagerberg, snickarmästar Lagerberg, grundläggar firman Berg och Sandersson, samt tapetsiramästar Andersson. Ifrån PD ända upp till SAT jag vandrat, men har ni sett på den lilla Karl Johan? Allihopa började ju skylla på varandra, ingen för huset i Birkastan. Glad i hågen gick jag hem till 164, där som inte hull fanns jag heller ingen skuld fanns. Hade mig ju sen när dagen kom att satsa hyran, då kommer det plötsligen en lång, lång karavan. Och den bestod av målar Johansson, åkarmästare Labansson, bläck, plåt och kappar slagar hammaren, plus gas och vattenmokar bergegren, förutom cement och läggar Fagerberg, snickarmästare Lagerberg, grundläggar firman Berg och Sandersson, samt tapetsiramästare Andersson.
She had almost swooned walking up that plank, see? Because she wasn't used to anything like that. But then he is telling who the owners were, where they were all these contractors that had been working on now, see? Well, they hadn't paid their bills. So, well, then he started to tell about what he found in there. He had lived there for 2 months, almost. And then, in the bedroom, there was the paper was hanging there, just hanging and banging loose, see? And the worst of it was that they hadn't put in a toilet in. And then he got mad, and he went to see all these contracts. No, to these contractors and told them about it. But there was nobody that owned the apartment house then. But but when the time to pay the rent come, then they all come. There was a long caravan that came then, who was going to collect the rent from them, see?
Oh,
well, then he got mad, and he threw them out on the plank, one by one. And then he read in the
trade papers, trade and shipping papers, that thrown all this, they all moved in, everybody in the apartment building moved out in order to defy these contractors. So they all moved in there themselves, the contractors.
Oh.
But then he had read in the trade paper, trade and shipping papers, that the sheriff had been there and thrown the contractors out again because...
it is
eight different contractors was the owners of buildings.
The chorus names them all.
Yeah, the chorus names them each time.
That would make a very cute song.